Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, I don't know about you, but nowadays, you know, I've got experiencing it more and more often nowadays that I have to go around the house searching for my phone. Okay. Oftentimes, I don't know where I place it. You know, it's one of those things when you're doing something halfway and then you put the phone down to attend to something else. And the next thing you know, the phone is gone, right? Not that somebody has taken it, but you just, just forgot where you left it. Sometimes I have to ask my family, a few times I have to ask my family members, can you call my phone, okay? And after that, you know, you can hear the ring in order to look for it in the house. And there was a few times that we couldn't really find it. Even after they called the phone, I was like, couldn't hear any ringing in the house. And then I had to retrace my steps and realize that I actually left it in the car, okay? I even forgot that I had forgotten to take it out of the car, okay? So, you know, I understand all this is part of aging, right? But it happens often also when there are things on my mind, right? When there are things, when I'm doing one thing and I'm thinking about something else. Or when I get distracted by something else for a moment, right? And then you just put the phone down and, you know, next thing you know is like, hey, I thought I was holding something, right? I don't know whether that happens to you. Then you spend the next 15 minutes trying to look for it. It's so frustrating when things like this happen, right? Coming back to this narrative here in Luke chapter 10 on Mary and Martha. Martha here in this story was also very distracted and found herself very much frustrated. Now, who was Martha? Martha, you know, is the kind of host that you would want in any party or any gathering. You know, she is the super hospitable, the meticulous type of person that looks into every detail. She excelled in the Jewish and Middle Eastern trait of being hospitable, looking into all the minor details that will make someone feel comfortable and welcomed. You know, she would have been a great member of our usher team, right, or our refreshment team in any church, right? It was Martha here who actually took the initiative to invite and to welcome Jesus into her house when Jesus was coming by Bethany. You know, sometimes we read about how Martha was often the task-oriented one, cast as a task-oriented one, and Mary here was the people-oriented one. But I don't think that is necessarily the case, right? Because Martha, I believe, was very much a people-oriented person. You know, she had the gift of service and hospitality. And usually those with the gift of hospitality are always people who are very people-oriented. Martha served people with excellence. You know, in fact, in another occasion when her brother Lazarus had died and, you know, they found out that Jesus was en route to visit, it was Martha who left the house, went out of the house, went all the way out to greet Jesus rather than wait at the house for him to arrive. You know, she's the kind of person with initiative, very people-oriented, and she would have hosted countless guests at her home. Her hospitality was something that was a desired trait in those days. But what was wrong here in this passage? Despite it being a good trait, why was she cast negatively here in this account? Right, Luke had written and recorded that she was distracted with much serving. That was the problem. She was distracted, drawn away from the key purpose and the focus of that gathering. You see, there's a time and place for everything. And in this case, while hospitality was important, and I guess it was very important to Martha, that was her house, and she was welcoming guests, and she wanted to make sure that they're welcome and you know, that they are all hosted well at her house. But what was more important to Jesus at that time was not being served with good food or good drinks, but it was about being present with him and giving attention to his words, the words that were being shared. And that's why Jesus himself also said of Martha that she was anxious and troubled about many things. You know, that word troubled that is used there conveys one who is almost like in an uproar or being caught up in a big commotion. The same root word there is used to describe a riot, okay? Or the making of loud noises to the level of threatening public order, the kind that you would call a police for, right? When that kind of commotion happens. And that was like, you know, this war and this riot that was going inside of her that Jesus was saying. She was probably overwhelmed by the so many things that she felt she needed to do as a host. And she really needed help, but it was not forthcoming from Mary. She looked to Mary and Mary just simply sat there listening to Jesus instead of coming to help Martha in the kitchen. And so 1,000 voices were going off inside her, right? Screaming at Martha inside to come and help her, right? Accusing her maybe of thinking, Mary, she's so lazy. All the time she's there, she never comes and help. She's always skiving, always choosing the easier way instead of coming to serve the guests. And when she couldn't take it anymore, finally she went to ask Jesus. Right, and what happened? The answer she got was, no. No, okay. A request denied. You know. But it was a discipling moment. It was a discipling moment for her. Because Jesus was teaching her something precious. You know, oftentimes we get dismayed and disappointed when our prayers are denied. When we get a no for an answer. Right? Or we get an answer that is different from what we had asked for. Not something we really wanted. And often when that happens, you know, God has a deeper lesson for us to learn here. Whenever we get a no, it is a discipling moment. For Martha, Jesus was teaching her that as much as hospitality was needful, what was more needful, what was needed at that moment was not more food and more drinks, but more of the word. More of the word. More of the sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear and to learn from his words and his teaching. There is a time for everything. And that is why Jesus said later that Mary has chosen the good portion, the good part, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, it was a very valid request from Mary for Mary to do her part as the host of the house. She's Martha's sister, so that's also her house. And so she is actually responsible also for hosting guests well. But there was something there that was of greater importance, a higher calling even. And that was to sit at the feet of Jesus, to worship, to hear his word. For us too, you know, we can get easily distracted from worship and from listening to God's word by the many other good things that we can get involved in, the many good things that are around us. You know, I'm sure many of us remember those COVID days, right? Not too long ago, when we had to move on to the online platform to attend worship services because we can't really gather physically to attend worship services on-site. It was a good alternative platform because we couldn't gather. But at the same time, I think all of us realized that, you know, while we could tune into the service and we could hear the sermons, it was not the best platform, not the most ideal platform for us to fully engage in worship, for us to focus on what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about. Right? I've been there myself, right? Because when the service starts, we'll log in and then what will we be doing? I'll just wake up 10 minutes before service and then switch on, log on, and then after that, go make my coffee, right? And then prepare my breakfast, waiting for the service to start. And even as the service starts and we, you know, everybody welcomes and worship starts, do you stand to sing the songs? No, right? I'm sure you're sitting there, legs, you know, kelka a bit, drinking your coffee, you know. You go into a spectator mode, right? And you're just not able to engage. You won't be standing for worship. You won't be kneeling for prayers. And, you know, I'll be surprised if you are even singing, okay? And worse still, sometimes we will be clearing our emails and reading, catching up on the latest news headlines. And even during the sermon, we'll probably be moving around the house, attending to different things. That always happens to me when I join an online service. You know, there's a certain dynamic in play when we sit ourselves physically in an environment like this, away from all distractions, not just only when we are listening to the sermon, but also when we are fully participating in the other segments of the worship service, like the singing, the giving of the tithes, the praying together as a church body, different things. And it's a very good habit that a lot of you here have to come into the worship hall earlier, a few minutes before the service starts, to settle down, to prepare your hearts for worship. You know, you'll find that when your hearts are prepared, rested, prepared and ready for worship service to start, you will hear God more clearly. And you'll be more ready and more likely to encounter God during the worship service, which is what we all want to do, right? So don't let anything, don't let anyone take this away from you. Don't allow yourself to be distracted when you draw near to worship. Shut out all distractions. Don't allow a phone call, a WhatsApp message, or an Instagram post that pops up on your phone, right, to take you away from the good portion, the good part that you have chosen for this morning, to come to be at the feet of Jesus to worship. Now that leads us then to Mary. Now if Martha could be characterized as one who was distracted, Mary would be the one who would be devoted. You know, Mary was the kind of friend that anyone would want to have. Right? She is humble, she's sensitive, she's devoted, she's faithful. She's willing to go to great lengths to show her love and her care for her friends. She has a great sense of empathy. And she spares no expense to bless her friends. She would have been a great person to have in our community service or our outreach ministries. She would go to great lengths to reach out to people. Now, what is interesting is that, you know, each time Mary is mentioned in the gospel with Jesus, she's always described to be at the feet of Jesus. Right here in Luke chapter 10, she's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. In John chapter 11, she's found falling at Jesus' feet, weeping at the death of his brother. And then in John 12, while Jesus was having a meal with his disciples, again, Mary is there at the feet of Jesus, anointing his feet with perfume. Now, this description that is used by the gospel writers to describe Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus is often a term used during those times to describe how a disciple is mentored and learning from a master. And just like how Paul himself was described to be one who was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, right? He learned under Gamaliel. And so traditionally in those times, that's the term they use for a disciple following a master. But it was only men who would become disciples, who would be received as disciples, who would sit at the master's feet, following them, learning from them. Women, you know, belong to the home and in the kitchens, as it were. And so what Mary was doing here was quite counter-cultural. And so we can understand Martha's exasperation, right? Because in the context, Mary is supposed to be in the kitchen. She is supposed to be helping Martha, serving the guests. But here she is, lazy and sitting there at the feet of Jesus instead of working hard to host the guests. And so you can empathize with Mary and the frustration she was feeling. But here was Mary. Here was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, hanging on to every word that Jesus was saying. In fact, she was so absorbed, so engrossed with what Jesus was saying that she probably didn't get all the hints that Martha was trying to, you know, Martha was probably going around trying to catch her attention, you know, whispering and trying to wave her hands to catch her attention to say, come to the kitchen. But she was just so engrossed, observing Jesus, listening to what he was saying, observing how Jesus was interacting with others and the disciples. She was just oblivious of what else was happening around her. I call that like a downloading moment, right? She was just downloading everything that was happening, observing every detail, every action, every pastoral touch, every pastoral connection between Jesus and his disciples, every word that was spoken. She was observing and learning from the master himself. You know, it's like how we pick up and learn sports, right? I don't know, when you learn sports, certainly you can pick up the rule book and read about the rules. But you, in order to really play the game, right, you need someone to come alongside to teach you and to show you how to play the game, isn't it? You know, Mondays, as you know, are our off days, and this is one of the places I hang out, right, at the SAFRA Tampines Badminton Court. Okay. Actually, I started playing tennis with a fellow pastor friend on the off days, but we got so tired of having to postpone our game or to always have to mop up the court after it rains, right? We got so tired of it that we decided we move indoors and let's play badminton instead. And that's when I found out that he was a former school player, okay? So I was like, wow, okay. But because he was a former school player, properly trained, I was able to learn from him, right? I picked up court movement, the proper badminton strokes by observing him and playing with him over all these years. Now, along the way, we have also now joined with some other clergy in the Anglican Church who also gathers to play badminton on Mondays. And some of them are actually former school players and even national team players, right? And so it is through playing with these masters of the court, right, that I learn, observing how they move, observing how they play, you know, sitting at their feet as it were, you know, and learning all the final skills and touches that they do. And it is through many years of playing with them, learning from them, that I find that now, you know, I'm able to play at their standard, right? Even able to beat them now and then, right? Yeah. But by the way, did I mention to you that, you know, they are actually in their 60s and 70s now? You know, I'm like the youngest there, you know, when I joined them. So maybe it's not because I got better, but they just got older, right? So anyways, the point is this. The point is that we learn by sitting at the feet of the masters. We learn by listening to their teaching, observing their manner of life, how they relate with others, what they do, how they live their life. And that was what Mary was doing here. She was simply doing what she would naturally do as a disciple of Christ. This is the kind of devotion that we need to learn to cultivate in our lives. A love for His Word, a longing for His presence, a desire to be one to be more and more like Him. You know, in today's context, it's also about learning from mentors and from disciples in our lives. Those who are spiritually mature, those who walk closely with God. Right? Just like how Moses raised Caleb, right? How Paul mentored Timothy, how Priscilla and Aquila raised disciple Apollos. And as how the Apostle Paul had put it, right, to imitate these mentors and these disciples, even as they imitate Christ, so that we all can become more and more like Christ. You know, we all need mentors in our lives. People whom we can learn from, people who can speak into our lives. Now, in order to do that, it means that we need to reorder our priorities in our life. To make time for God, to make time to study God's Word, to make time to spend with God's people in order to hear their stories, in order to observe how they live, in order to learn from each other, to be mentored and to mentor others. You know, we are in the process of trying to put some things together so that in time, this can become a culture here in COGS. Mentoring relationships, people learning and interacting with one another, mentoring and being mentored. Just like Mary, who puts aside everything else in order to focus on listening to Jesus, learning from Jesus, we too need to learn to put aside other things, even good things that may distract us, so that we do not become like Marthas who run around seemingly getting a lot of things done, but yet failing to do that one thing that is of greatest importance, spending time with Jesus. So that's the picture of Mary, of Martha. What about us? You know, Jesus said of Mary, she has chosen the good portion, the good part. What would you choose? And so the third D, sorry, is to be choose lah, but C doesn't fit lah. So distracted, devoted, so decided. What have you decided? Have you decided what kind of disciple you want to be? Have you decided what kind of life you want to live in the light of who Christ is? Now, bearing in mind that there is a coming kingdom where Jesus will return and will rule and reign as king. Have you decided how you will prepare yourself for this? Now, one of the things that I find really stands out in this narrative here in Luke chapter 10 is that of service. Service. You know, while we see Martha getting a lot of bad press, right, a lot of bad coverage and reviews about her serving, but it's not that she shouldn't be serving at all, right? If you read this narrative carefully, you realize that while Jesus defended Mary's posture of simply sitting there at the feet of Jesus to learn, Jesus did not rebuke Mary to ask her to stop serving, stop whatever you're doing, and do like what Mary is doing and sit down and listen. Jesus didn't say that. What Martha was doing was also important and needed too. What we need to realize here is that each one has their own way of expressing their worship and their service. Each one with different needs, different at different times. And the point is that neither were to compel the other to do likewise. They are not to compel another to do the same thing that they are doing. You know, in John chapter 12, we see almost like a replay of this scene in John chapter 12. Very much like in Luke 10, the disciples gathered again to eat together after Lazarus was resurrected from the dead. And there was Lazarus sitting at the table eating. And where was Martha? What was she doing? She was serving, as usual. And where was Mary? Again, not helping Martha to serve, right? There was Mary at Jesus' feet, right? Anointing his feet with perfume as an act of worship. But there is a difference now. The difference is that Martha no longer complains. She no longer complains about others not helping her. She's no longer anxious and troubled by many other things. Instead, she focused on her serving rather than on others. Rather than thinking, why are the rest not serving? Why are the rest not doing this? Why are they doing other things? She focused on the Lord and she served cheerfully. You see, each one is to decide for themselves how they choose to serve the Lord and how they honor God in their worship and in their service. You know, it's like when we are in a worship service like this, you know, many things are actually happening, right? You know, there are many serving in their different giftings and capacities. Some are serving God through availing themselves to lead worship up here, playing the various instruments. Some are flagging and waving their flags as an expression of worship to declare the victory of Christ. Others are ushering, welcoming congregants as they arrive. Some are managing the sound, the AV and live streaming video. Others are up here leading the service, perhaps even serving in a prayer ministry, gathering to pray before the service starts. Some stay back after service, right, to count the offerings or to prepare refreshments. Others faithfully prepare Holy Communion elements so that we can partake of it together as a church. And then you have another group over at the other side, right, over at Block B and Level 4, running children ministry. Many are faithfully serving each week to ensure that it is a good experience for all of us and that we are able to be in an environment where we encounter God, even as we serve one another. You know, as 1 Peter chapter 4 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. You know, each of us are called to use our gifts and our calling to be good stewards of whatever graces that God has entrusted us with, to serve one another as an act of worship unto God for his glory and for the good of the church, the body of Christ. But imagine if instead of focusing on what each one is called to do and exercising their gifts in serving and worshiping God, they get bothered like Martha. They get bothered by why this person or that person doesn't come and help out. Right? We are so short-handed here, but why don't they come and help out? And then we will end up with Marthas. Marthas in our midst who are anxious and troubled about many things. Marthas who are serving but whose eyes are on others instead of on the Lord. Marthas whose hearts are bitter with jealousy and anger instead of serving with a cheerful and joyful heart. That's the Martha of Luke chapter 10. Anxious and troubled about many things, grousing about why others are not serving as hard as they are. What we need are the Marthas of John chapter 12. The one who serves with no expectation of others to do the same, but sees their service as a privilege to serve the King. The Martha of John 12 serves even when no one else does. The Martha of John 12 serves out of a loving and grateful heart, recognizing how much Jesus has already done for her. The Martha of John 12 serves out of a sense of calling and gifting, regardless of what others do. My friends, have you decided what kind of disciple you want to be? Have you decided how you will serve God according to your giftings and your calling? Take that first step toward God in serving Him with what He has put in your heart to do. And even as you do so, you will experience His empowering grace upon His life. And you will have begun to store up treasures in heaven. I want to close with Paul's desire that was expressed in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. We read that passage after he spoke about knowing the riches of the glory of God and having Christ in us, the hope of glory. Then he goes on to say that he desires to continually proclaim Christ and to seek to present everyone mature or complete in Christ. Now, my friends, our goal as Christians is not simply to get to heaven. It's more than that, right? Our goal should be to be mature and complete in Christ, becoming like Christ. And this is before we meet Him face to face when He returns. Right? This is what Paul is saying. It's not after we get to heaven, then we are made perfect. Paul's desire is to present everyone perfect before Him, before we meet Him. You see, my friends, whether we sit at the feet of Jesus to learn from Him or run around in active service unto the Lord, or both, God is pleased when we do all this out of love and gratitude in our hearts and out of a desire to grow to be more and more like Him. And when we do so, we will become more and more like Him. We will be made mature and perfect in Christ. And I pray that this will be your goal and your desire in your life as well. Let us choose the good portion, the good part of loving Him, of serving Him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for Mary's example and also Martha's example, the lesson that was learned, how she was so distracted from what you have gifted her to do and called her to do, to serve. And so even today, Lord, this is our lesson. Help us, Lord, to be mindful, to focus on what you have called us to do as an act of love, as an act of worship unto you. Not to be affected or overly bothered by what others are doing, but to learn to be faithful to what you have called us to do and to keep our eyes upon you. Lord, help us to love like Mary. Help us to serve like Martha, so that this will be an acceptable sacrifice unto you. Help us to grow in you, Lord. You know, my friends, there are just many things in our minds sometimes. Even sitting through a worship service like this, I don't know how many times we would have looked at our phone and clicked at something that has popped out on our phone. These are things that take us away from Christ, take us away from being able to focus and receive from God. And many times in life, that happens. Let us not fall prey to it. Let not this good portion be taken away from us. Lord, even this moment of quiet, we want to tune our hearts to be able to hear your voice. Help us at all times to learn, to expand our life, our time, our resources, to know you more, and to become more and more like you. Let that be our desire, as it is in Paul's, to present himself mature and perfect in you, and to bring others along in that journey, so that others also may become mature and complete in Christ. Help us, Lord, even as we desire to do that in our lives. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.